Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Understand you by and by. Take nothing less than the suffering best. Do not obey rumors people say, but you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day. With just a little of faith, if you put your mind to it, you can surely do it.
Hello, family. This is Paula Massey with the Education of the Miseducated System. Thank you for listening today. You're listening to Dynasty Radio 1382, the revolutionary radio for revolutionary people. This is a live call-in talk show, and if you want to call in, talk to me, have a question, want to make a comment, you can dial 646-716-7572. Press the number one, and we'll put you in queue. Definitely we'll call on you. I love talking to the family about whatever topics that we want to talk about or whatever we're talking about today. And I do have some things that I want to talk to you today. Today we're going to, last week we talked about the charter school, and I had Mr. Mel Sanders, who is a community activist really dealing with education in the Fresno, California area, about 45 minutes north of me. So we had a really good conversation. Shout out to Mel for that one. Thank you very much for being a part of what we were doing. So today we're going to be going into a little bit deeper, talking about individual educational plans. And I'll talk to you a little bit about why I wanted to go there, some things I experienced on the end of last week. So basically, just want to share with some things with you, and want to thank you all for posting and liking my Facebook page, The Education of the Miseducated System. Haven't been on it very much, but I tell you what, when I do get a chance to look at it, I enjoy the post. Thank you for one of the posts that I was just looking at earlier. That was Empress T, I'm sorry, Empress T. She had posted on my page about another author who is putting out children's books, but I'm looking at them and they're on the Kindle, and which is fine because I just downloaded it into my new phone where I can have good Kindle so I can look at the books and possibly share these with my grandson. One is called Amina's Third Eye. And I'll be looking at that. I just downloaded it. And we'll see what we got. Hopefully I'll have him on the show next week to talk a little bit about his books and the inspiration of his books. And anybody out there who's putting out children's books about our history or that we could share with our children, please feel free to post on Education of the Miseducated System so I can get that information out there. And the reason why I want to do that, I have a friend who works at the school district. She works for the school district. She works for the after-school program. Matter of fact, she is the lead tutor or whatever you want to call her, the supervisor. And here lately, she's been calling me and because they're getting rid of all these books. And the books that they're getting rid of are our books. And they're our books. When I usually get a book about us, I always look at the author. Who is the author? Because I want to make sure that it's somebody who looks like us and that is telling the truth about us. Because when we get books that are printed by other people other than us, sometimes they can be a little bit twisted and not all the truth there. And I'm not saying that the white man is always going to do this, but we also have black people that don't always put the full truth in it, maybe because they want to write more books, or maybe if they didn't put the whole truth there, or if they did put the whole truth in there, their publisher or whatever would not allow them to put books out through their publishing company. But whatever it is, those books are being tossed and out, and whoever could get them, get them. I want to thank Ms. Carolyn Hudgens for getting those books and putting them in our library so we can share these with our students. Once again, going out to our brother Kamari, Samori Kamara, Brother Samori Kamara from the Kamali Academy. Thank you, my brother. I got my curriculum in, and I am loving it. I just wish that I would have had this curriculum when I started the Genius School, because this book right here, these books can help me. You can actually teach a 50 weeks. We had it once a week. You could actually teach a 50 weeks or 100 weeks on one book alone, all depends on how you want to expand it. Thank you for putting out that information for our young people and for us. And the reason why I say us, because it took me until 2009 to become my eyes started opening up to things, and I was in the church and I was singing with the praise team and really involved, and started listening to Dr. Ray Hagen's, and somebody introduced me to him. We had a Kwanzaa at my office space that I had, and just started learning and picking up information. And then I started asking questions about what I was being taught on a regular basis, what I was being taught on Wednesday night, what I was being taught on Friday, what I was being taught on Sunday all day long. So I started questioning those things, and I began understanding that there was more than meets the eye, because I always ask questions. I said, there got to be more. There has to be more. And then when I began reading about in the Bible about the treatment of women and how women were treated and what they say, you know, learn at home, you know, all of this other kind of stuff, the women were actually really put down. And I knew that that's not what we called our Savior, our Creator, to put us down. Why would He create something that He would want to put His foot down on for him or her, whatever? But anyway, I said that all to say this, that I thank you authors and those who have been helpful to me in sharing with me knowledge. That's what it's about, knowledge to power. So today we're going to talk about, thank you, today we're going to be talking about the individual educational plan in our schools. I'll share a little bit why I'm talking about this. I'm an advisor to our Black Student Union at one of our local high schools, and we just had Club Rush the last week, and that's where the kids come out during a certain part of the day at school, and you have all the clubs out there with their booths and people signing them up. So we had a lot of kids sign up, and even the first meeting, which was last Friday, we had a group of kids really come and just pack that room out, which is really great. But I noticed there was one girl who was there, and last year she was part of the Black Student Union that we took on a couple of trips, but I didn't see her anymore. So she told us this Friday that she got like two more weeks of this high school, and then she's going to go to an alternative school. Now, some of the other advisors were wondering why, but I kind of knew why. She wasn't making a grade. She wasn't coming to school. She was always late to school. Well, family, we really have to reach out to our young people, especially our young girls, because if we don't help them, they're going to go outside and look for other help, and the other help they get is not going to be pretty help. And I understand that we live in a society where single parenting is prominent, especially in the African-American community. It seems like it's getting a little bit better, but it's there. And when these parents have these children, it appears that the oldest child is the one who's responsible for making sure and taking care of their siblings when their parent has to go out and work. So this is what has happened to this child. She has had to take care of her brothers and sisters from a very large family, and making sure things are getting done while her mom's working, wherever her mom is, no father at home. So this is the cause. This is her demise. But in all reality, and looking at that also, this young lady, it looks like she's not quite all there academically or even mentally. And so I acknowledge, I noticed that in her. So this is where my from the individual education plan is called an IEP. Some of you may be familiar with it, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. And if you have any questions, feel free to call in. Like I said, the number is 646-716-7572. Repress the number 1 and we will put you in queue. What I've done today is I've gone to our, like I always do, I go to ed.gov, the letters ED for education.gov, and I pull up, so I pulled up today the, that I wanted to listen, I wanted to see what are they saying about the individual educational programs. Well, there's a, they have, I mean, this page is like 40 pages. But in these pages, this is a PDF file that parents could download and even print if you want to and put it in a three-ring binder or one of those paper folder with the binders. Do whatever you need to do. But I think this is something that parents who may have children that are in special ed programs or the teachers or the principals are talking about doing an individual educational plan if your child is still in private school and still in public school. These are the things I want to talk to you about, some of the things that you really need to understand about this individual educational plan. So we're going to pull up, they got a lot of acronyms in it. When you're reading something like this and you don't understand, highlight that acronym, put it up there on a new page, and it'll show up like the acronym IDEA, I-D-E-A. So I just like, what is that? So I looked it up, and it is the Individual with Disabilities Education Act, I-D-E-A. And then you're going to have something that's talking about a least L-R-E. What is the L-R-E? It's a least restrictive environment. So we're going to talk about that in the IEP. When you hear me say the word IEP, you know I'm talking about an individualized education plan. Anytime a student is in school and maybe they're not making a grade, maybe the parent is noticing something that's going on with the kid or a child, or the teacher may notice something, they can request that a child have an individual educational plan done on them, or that they're going to be, they'll go in for evaluation. Okay. There's many steps to this individual education plan, but I want to let you know the parent is always supposed to be involved in this plan. Do not, parents, when your child is going for an individual education plan, do not sit back, cross your arms, twiddle your fingers, look like you're surprised and you don't know what's going on. Fake it until you make it. I'm serious. Come in there sharp. If you don't know too much, get with somebody before you go in there, talk to, so you could be up on your points, okay? If you want to pull this, I'm going to post this document on Facebook page, so this is something that you can have. And you could always share this with other people. If you don't need it, family, share it with somebody else that you know that may be going through. But the parent and the student is involved. Main key point parties in this. You're going to have the regular school teacher that's in the regular classroom. You're going to have a special educator teacher or a provider. You're going to have the school system representative. That's somebody from the school district representative. You're going to have a transition services agency, somebody who could help transition that child out of the regular classroom into it. Special ed classroom, if that needs to be happening, who have the knowledge of special education expertise about the child, and a person who can interpret the evaluation results. So those are the people. Sound like big people, huh? Well, people just like me and you. Okay, they pee and poop the same way. Okay, they just regular people. Don't let their title scare you. So these are the people who are going to be involved. And they're called individual educational plan team members. Okay, so their team, and they're meeting to talk to you about the child and talk to you about your child. And they have to have you there as a parent, caregiver, or whoever you are, because they know that you know that child. Like I always say, you know your child. When that child goes to school, it's just a guessing game. But you know what motivates that child, and you also have the right to say yay or nay when it comes down to this individual educational plan. Okay. So there are like, how many steps? There's 10 steps. That's for this plan that happened. Let me go ahead. I'm going to go over that with you. The child is possibly is identified as possibly needing special education and related services. So let's go ahead and look at the word special education, and let's see whether we can define that word. What does it mean when we say special education? I know what we think it means, but what does it actually mean? Let's look and see. Special education, I'm looking here. Okay, I want to make sure I get it right. Okay, special education is a program that is specially designed for those children who are either mentally, physically, or socially or emotionally delayed. Okay? That's what special education is for. Okay? Now, when you say a child is emotionally delayed or physically delayed or socially delayed, meaning that something happened, a lot of times that happens when something has happened in birth. I knew a young man, when he was born, he had a couple of holes in his heart and he had to go into the hole surgery as an infant. And we knew at that point, because he had the surgery and because he had all that you in and put you under, that it was going to affect his mental capacity, and which it did. So he had to have an individual educational plan. So special education it covers a whole broad of things. Now special education, I see young people that are in special education that are dealing with behavioral issues. They just are not fitting into the classroom. So basically what your school is going to do, they're going to identify your child. They're going to give a referral for evaluation, and a school professional may ask the child to be evaluated or if he or she has a disability. Okay, parents may also contact the teacher if you feel like there's something that's going on. You can ask them for your child to be evaluated, but this is what I've heard Dr. Umar Johnson said. Don't run up there and ask them, I don't know what to do with my child. Can you help them? Because when they hear that, they're going to jump on it, and then you know what? Basically, you're going to be out of the loop. For one thing, you went up there and you said you didn't know what to do with your child, and now they're getting ready to help you, so to speak, help your child, and now you want to be involved in that. But if you were going to be so involved in that, why did you run up there and say, I don't know what to do with my child? You may not know what to do, but there's certain things that you just do not do, okay? But you want to be involved. You want to be involved. And if you're going to ask them as an involved parent, as a parent that is aware. Don't go in as a needy parent. Go in as an aware parent that you're seeing some things that, okay? And then if you want to, you could also, we have a program in my town that's called Central Regional Valley Center. And it's a program, it's a place where you can go and have evaluations done yourself. You can self-evaluate. You can self-refer yourself. You could also refer your child. And your child would go in, and they would evaluate your child instead of the school evaluating it. Let's move on. So your child is evaluated, right? So the evaluation, they do the access, assess your child, and so that the evaluation and the assessment is done to see whether your child is eligible for special education services. So this is not a class, it's services, okay? And then with that, you will have a right to take your child for an independent educational evaluation. It's called an IEE. And also, you can ask the school to pay for this. You don't have to come out of your pocket. They have the money to pay for this. Now, after that's done and eligibility is going to be decided, a group of qualified professionals and parents look at the child's evaluation results. And then they decide if the child has a disability or if the child is a child with a disability as defined in the Individuals with Disability Educational Act, okay? And now, whatever they come up with, they say, no, your child isn't, or your child is, you have a right to challenge that eligibility decision. Sometimes they may say, no, your child does not meet in this criteria. But you have a opportunity to challenge that. Now, if the child is found eligible for services as defined in the IDEA, that's the Individuals with Disability Educational Act, within 30 days after that diagnosis or that eligibility, the individual educational team, the ones that I told you about at first, they have to meet to write up an individual educational plan for your child. Now, in order for it to be an individual educational plan, it has to be particularly set up for your child. I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. Okay, after they do that, now you have a meeting. A meeting is scheduled. The school staff must contact the participants, including the parents. Notify the parents early enough to make sure they have the opportunity to attend. Schedule the meeting at a time and place agreeable to the parents and school. Remember what I said here when I said agreeable to the parents and school working together, so they can't have it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you know that you're at work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. No, don't let that happen. You make sure that it's at a time that you can be there. And you're not rushed because they can go on for just a little bit. Tell the parents that they have that right. They have to tell the parents the purpose and the time and the location of the meeting. They also have to tell the parents who will be attending. And it's not just, well, we're going to have this doctor here. No, Dr. John Brown, Miss Mary Smith. You have a right to know those people's names because there may be something going on in your world, with those people world, that might tilt the scale a little bit, not in your child's favor, because you know how sometimes things happen. And then they have to tell you, the parents, that they may invite. You can invite people who have knowledge or special expertise about the child. So that doesn't mean that you have to mention doctor. I was invited to an IEP meeting because the parents knew that I knew their child and because I knew a little bit about this because I ran a private school. So they asked me to come in. And at the end of the meeting, I mean, I was just floored because the suggestions that I gave, they didn't want to do. And I told the parents, you could fight this. I don't know whether they fought it or not, but these people felt like this little girl wasn't going to be able to do nothing. She taught herself how to play the keyboard. She's an artist. She's going to college. But, you know, they could, they wasn't going to tell. They felt like she wasn't able to be anything. Now, after the meeting is scheduled and the IEP is written, you're going to all get together. You're going to talk about what was written, okay? And it has to be talked about before they can give any services. And before they give any services, you as a parent must give consent. And the child will receive services right after the meeting, within a day or so. Your child will have their services. Now, if you don't agree with the IEP and the placement where your child is going to be placed, you can discuss your concern with the other members of the IEP team and try to work out an agreement. And if they still disagree, parents can ask for mediation, or the school may offer mediation. Parents may make a file a complaint with the state education agency and may request a due process hearing. Okay. Let's look at this. Okay, so they're going to try to place your child in a facility or a place or a school or a classroom that you may not agree with. There are actual schools that deal with just only special ed students. You may not want that. You may want your child to be inclusive, integrated into a regular classroom, to just receive special help. And that can happen. Now, when the services are provided, the parent will be given a written report, a written copy of the IEP, Individual Educational Plan. Each of the child's teachers and the service providers, everybody who's involved and knows about that specific child, will get an IEP with their specific responsibilities for carrying out the IEP. This includes accommodations for the child, modifications for the classroom, support that must be provided to the child in keeping with the individual educational plan. If your child needs a reading specialist, they have to provide that reading specialist. If they have, if you notice that maybe your child is not working to the best of ability, maybe their right hand, and they're just not able to do something with their right hand, they have to make certain accommodations. Maybe they had to move their chair up closer, give them a special desk. If they're using computers, give them a special mouse or a special keyboard. Whatever they need is needed, that's what they need to do. And then the child has a progress report. And it's an annual progress report that is given to the parent. But the parent can come up, you know, how's my child doing and whatever you need to know. But at the end of the year, you need to know whether your child has met the goals that were set and that initial meeting that you have. And then they're going to review the IEP, the Individual Educational Plan, to see whether, at least once a year, to find out whether they're meeting their goals, whether that child's meeting the goals, whether the teachers are actually doing what they're supposed to be doing, and then redo that IEP, Individual Education Plan, over again. And then your child is going to be reevaluated. Now, for those parents who are children who are in the public school, and you're thinking about moving your child out of the public school because you want to put them in a homeschool, don't think that this is not available to you. This is available to you. If in your state, I know in California, I'm in Kearney, California, when you have a private school, when you have a homeschool, it is considered as a private school. When you have a private school, as long as it is connected with one of the school districts, you have access to what the school district is doing. When we had the private school, I had a young boy who was able to go over to the public school down the street. We took him down there, and he met with his reading specialist teacher for about an hour and a half, picked him back up, brought him back to the school, no problem, because we have access to that. With this IEP, they're going to find out certain places where your child could actually get their teaching or get their education from. Okay. And that's called an LRE, the least restrictive environment. So let's look and see what a least restrictive environment looks like. Because if your child is in a classroom and there's so much stuff going around, that child can't concentrate, that is a restrictive environment. That's not allowing that child to get what they need in a classroom, because they're in an environment that's not helping them. It's restricting them. It's bothering them, in other words. You know, it's holding them back. So we don't want our children to be held back. We want our children to be able to continue on with what they need to continue on. So I'm going to look at the least restrictive environment according to the special ed child. The least expensive environment is a place where, like I said, your child can get the help that they need. It could be and a special class, a separate school, another educational environment, at home, at the hospital. Did you hear what I said? At home. So if you're homeschooling your child, guess what? And you feel like the least restrictive environment along with getting the curriculum, and you already got the IEP, you already know what you have to do, okay? If you want to, part of that education could be at school and the rest of it could be at home. Your child doesn't have to be at that school all day long. And as a matter of fact, I'm looking here, the child could be even at getting their education at home. So you want to really look at where your child can get their education at. Now I'm going to go just a little bit more into that because I think it's important that we as parents know what it is that we want to do. So there's a section in this form that I'm going to put on my Facebook page. It's called Deciding the Placement. Now, you got your IEP, Individual Educational Plan for your child, and now the placement where this is going to be carried out has to be decided. And it's made by a group of people, including the parents and others who know about the child, what the evaluation results mean, what type of placements are appropriate. And in some states, the IEP team serves as a group making the placement decision. In other states, this decision may be made by another group of people. But in all cases, the parents have the right to be members of the group that decides the educational placement of the child. Okay? You have the right. The law clearly states that special classes. Oh, let me back it up here. I don't want to go there yet. The placement decisions must be made according to the Individual with Disabilities Educational Act, the IDEA Act. Must be made according to the IDEA least restrictive environment requirements, okay? Commonly known as the LRE, least restrictive environment. These requirements state that to maximize the extent appropriate, children with disabilities must be educated with children who do not have disabilities. So they're saying that they really want to integrate, they really want to work with their child, placing that child in a classroom with this other students who do not have these disabilities. But on that point, their parents, that sounds good, but you need to be on top of it because your child will be, and I've seen this happen, put in a corner with a piece of paper, with crayon, you know, doing busy work while the other kids are doing what they need to do. Yeah, they go out on the playground, they go out for recess, all that together. But is your child really getting the help that they need? How much have they dumbed down that child's education? Make sure you know what's in that IEP. And if you don't understand some stuff, you need to ask. Okay. The law also states that special classes, separate schools, or other removal of children with disabilities from the regular educational environment may incur only if the nature or severity of the child's disability is such that education in regular classes with the use of supplementary aids and services cannot be achieved satisfactorily. Okay? And, man, I wish that Dr. Umar Johnson was listening to this so he can kind of give us a little bit more about this, and hopefully I could get with him and maybe he could be on my show one day and we could talk about these IEPs getting more. I'm just giving you a little bit. But there are different type of placements that you can place your children in. And that's depending on the needs of the child. Depending on the needs of their IEP, what the IEP said. Now it can be carried out in a regular class with supplementary aids and services as needed. Now, a few years back, if your child was in the classroom, sometimes they would hire a special ed teacher aide or come into the classroom and make sure your child was getting the help that they need. They also do it at the college level where you have note takers and all of those other different people that are coming in Your child could take the test separate from the actual classroom because maybe they're overwhelmed by all the different people in the classroom, the moving around of the chairs and stuff. Like, that aggravates people. I don't know, it probably aggravates me, but anyway. Let's see what we got here. So, if those services that your child needs cannot be reached in a regular classroom, there are different placements. Okay, like I said, they can be carried out in a regular class with supplementary aids and services, or in a special class where every student in the class is receiving special education services for some or all of the day. They could be in a special school. They could be at home, in a hospital and institution, or in another setting. Now, a school system, school district, may meet its obligation to ensure that the child has the appropriate placement available by providing an appropriate program for the child of its own, contracting with another agency, utilizing some other mechanism or arrangement that is consistent with the IDA, okay? Now, the placement group will base its decision on the IEP. Parents, this is where you step in. Your child will have the curriculum that they need, but if you decide that, you know, this is something that you want to do and you have people there to help you with your child's IEP, and you want them out of that environment because you know that they're easily distracted, this is one way you can do. You can do this at home. Don't let them think that you don't know that you could do this at home. Okay? Like I always say, you have so many people that have access to your child's IEP. So you do have that. And those are the people who will be working with your child. So let's go here back. Let's go this way a little bit. Let me head back over this way. Let me see if I got any calls in. I hadn't heard anything, but I sure would love to hear if you guys wanted to call in and see what we're doing today and talk with me. Oh, okay. So I'm going to go back to this page here. So there's different, on this paper that I'm going to be posting online, I want you to know that there's different things that you'll be seeing, different reports and stuff that you'll get a packet. Some people call it a passport to education, or whatever your state calls it. It'll have everything in there. It has the meetings, and it may have some doctor's notes in there. All depends on what's going on with that child. Whether the child wears glasses, how long the child has been wearing glasses, if they have any other medical needs, or they have any allergies, or they allergic to anything. I mean, all that stuff would be in that IEP, in that whole packet, okay? So basically what you want to do is you want to check with your state. Go to ed.gov or your state, and it'll come up. And no matter how often you do that, it'll come up for your state, so you can look this up. This is all public knowledge. And this form that I have here, this paperwork, is for parents. But my question is, how many parents are actually doing this? Now, I'll tell you a little bit about California. They just implemented a program in our high school, and I've seen the program in other programs. They have in juvenile systems. Let me see what I could pull that up here. Okay. Then they do have other programs that they've implemented in the communities where if a child is getting in trouble, they go before the people who they've wronged, and they have a meeting, and they have to pay restitution to that person. And it keeps them out of juvenile hall, and it also helps them to know who they've touched. Because a lot of times when our children are doing things, they don't know that they're actually hurting not only themselves, but there's a whole bunch of other families and a whole bunch of other people that are involved in the act that they've committed. Okay, so, you know, they need to do this. But in our high schools, we've implemented something like that. And that we've implemented that so our children won't be going to community school or being expelled from school. But I just learned that a child with an individual educational plan cannot be expelled from school. And I was talking to a young man. He's a psychologist. He's a therapist going to get his master's or his doctorate so he could do whatever he needs to do. And when he runs a foster care agency. And when he talks to parents, and he runs a program called Wraparound, where mother, father, school, any of these agencies all get together and they bring this child in and they kind of work with this child, trying to get this child on track. And a lot of times it's not due to the child's fault. There's no fault of the child. It's just the environment that they're in. So they're trying to help with that. But he has said, he told me this Friday, because he was over at the BSU meeting, Black Student Union meeting, and he says, I told a lot of these parents, we just had a conversation that you need to go get your child an IEP. And I said, why did you tell them that? He says, because with an IEP, they can't expel them. But if they continue on in the path that they're doing and they're not making the grade and they become a behavioral problem, then they're going to go ahead and try to expel that child or put them in a community school. Our community schools are run by the county. It's not run by the district. It's a county school. It's not a school district school. So your county schools are run by that federal. It's federal dollars. And with that, it's federal dollars. And with that, the whole academic process is tweaked. There are no extracurricular activities that they need. What do you call it? Not extracurricular activities. I'll come up with the name. We'll just use the extracurricular activities that they have. Okay, all those extra classes that they could take and get credits for, they don't take those. Where they would normally have taken 3 math classes, now they're taking 2. Where they were actually taking 2 Spanish classes, foreign languages, maybe they were taking 1. Maybe they're not even taking any foreign language classes. So it's just the basics. And out of that, a lot of times they'll come out with an 8th grade education at best. So we need to rethink some of the things that we're doing in our schools. If your child is still in school, these are the things that you need to know. If you're thinking about taking your children out of school, you still need to know this stuff. And the reason why I say you still need to know, because it is our responsibility to share with our brothers and sisters what's going on. And it is our responsibility because I'm going to tell you what I've also seen among our young people. And I'm just switching a little tone. My heart breaks. I had a meeting yesterday. My heart really breaks when we talk about our young people, what we want to do for them in the community, our high school students that are getting ready to graduate. And there was one young lady there, and she said that, you know, this is her first year in high school. She's a freshman. And she said, she is just so put off by high school, because she goes into her class to learn, but she's like there in the classroom and the kids are holding conversations and the teacher not teaching, instructing, they're putting something on the board and saying, okay, go ahead and do this. And, or they break up in these groups now that they have this common course, they break up in the groups and the leaders of the groups are high school students, because she's in classes with high school with 12th graders. She's in the freshmen, she's in it with seniors. And so the seniors are over these groups, but they don't know what she knows. So when it comes time for them to come out of the group, this is the one thing that is being said. And when they come out of the groups and they have to discuss stuff, and so the teacher's asking, so is there anybody in that group that has a comment? So she raised her hand. So the teacher overlooks her and said, is there anybody else? I'm going to call her Monique. Is there anybody else other than Monique who has a comment to make? Nobody raises their hand. Say, okay, Monique, okay, what is it that you have to say? That should never, ever happen. But that is a child that was going to our genius school. But our students don't know because they don't know who they are. And so when I see a student like Monique who wants to learn but is in an environment that she has to be in it for the next 4 years, every day, Monday through Friday, except when there's holidays and there's summer and winter and spring vacation, that child needs something else to keep her motivated. What are we going to do? I didn't start becoming conscious until 2009, 2010. And I'm a grown woman. I'm almost 58 years old. Something happened with the generation. Now, my brother's older than me. He came. We all came through the Black Power. We came all the way through the Black Panther movement. We all came through that in New York. Because there was something that was lost. But there was something that was lost in my mother's generation. Yeah, they knew about the lynchings and the hangings and all of that stuff that was happening. But for some reason, that group of people, they decided not to share that information with their children, which was me. And they frowned upon the Black Power movement. Oh, yeah, we're going to hear James Brown say aloud, I'm black and I'm proud. But actually getting with the movement, it wasn't happening. Getting along with Malcolm X, no, you better not follow Malcolm X in the Nation of Islam. You don't even want to hear them talk. But my mother did receive the Amsterdam newspaper out of New York. On a regular basis, a gentleman would come to the house on a Saturday and bring her her newspaper. So my mother was privy to a lot of stuff that was going on, but she didn't take the time to share that with us. Maybe because she wanted us to have everything the white man had, because she worked for the white man, she was the help. And maybe because she wanted us to have more than what she had. But we could have had more than what she had if we were only knowledgeable to know to go out and get what we had the right way. But we are back in a situation where she was. I mean, history is really, really repeating itself. And family, if we don't take the time to share with our children the things that they need to know in order to be better citizens in our community and help with our community, then shame on us. Now, today I brought you the information about the IEPs because I thought it was very important because a lot of our children who are in public schools have these IEPs. They're in these special education classes. Dr. Umar Johnson talked about we can no longer segregate our children. They have the integration of the schools, and so they can no longer segregate the class, put them in all black class and all white, but this is how they segregate our children through these diagnoses. And say they're special ed. That means we need to wake up. We really do. I have black student union students that when they're filling out their paperwork or signing in, their handwriting looks like a fourth grade or a third grade handwriting, and they forget that they got a last name. Maybe they don't want to use their last name, but they do not use a last name. We're getting ready to get involved in this little town that I'm in. We're getting ready to hold a parent meeting. If the football team, Booth Moms Club could come, the band team, why can't our black student unions come together and their parents come together so we can educate our children and get them involved in the community so they can say that there are some on-point people, black people that are actually moving forward. I'm going to share with you something that I watched last night. I watched this movie that my godson told his mom about, and it was called Dear White People. It's on Netflix. And it was good. It was a good movie. I didn't care too much for the way it ended, but it could have had a different. Now, there's some points in there that there's things that happen to kind of make the movie go on a little bit further, but it never went anywhere. But the whole thing about racism on the college campuses and also people trying to be who they're not and standing up for what's right. And then being caught in the middle as a black young man, you can't hang with the white people too much, and you definitely can't hang with the black. So it dealt with all that. So I think that's a good movie to kind of watch. It does have some not much, not a whole lot of nudity, but, you know, supposed sexual themes in there. So a little bit of homosexuality, just a touch. Tiny touch. So I think that is a good movie to watch when you're talking about your children. If your children are still in the public school and you want to talk to them about things that are happening on the campus, injustices that may be happening or that they see that they're not getting the grades that other people are getting, this is something that you need to watch and you need to talk to your students about. This was I hope that you enjoyed the show today. I hope that you got some information that I was sharing with you about the individual educational plans. Like I said, I'm going to post it onto the Education of the Miseducated System. Look on our Facebook page, download it, put it on, if you don't want to print it out, put it on a flash drive. Somewhere you need to put it, and I'll also put in the information about the least restrictive environment. So I'm going to put some of that information in there so you can see exactly what's happening. And let you know that this is Paula Massey signing off. This is the Education of the Miseducated System, and you've been listening to Dynasty Radio 1382, the revolutionary radio for revolutionary people. You have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day, and I'll talk to you on next Tuesday. Goodbye.
Dynasty Radio 1382.